John chapter 6, verses 1 to 13. Jesus feeds the 5,000. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip,
"Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?"
He only asked this to test him, for he had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him,
"It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one of these people to have a bite."
Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up.
"Here is a boy with five small barley loaves and two small fish. But how far will they go among so many people?"
Jesus said,
"Have the people sit down."
There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples,
"Gather the pieces that are left over and let nothing be wasted."
So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's a pleasure to be with you this morning. And thank you to Amy and her children for that wonderful rendition of our reading, which comes from John 6, verses 1 to 13, if you want to look at that again. Brilliant. If you don't know me, my name's Carol, and I'm currently training for ordination and on placement here at New Hope this term. So let's pray. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to look at your word this morning. Thank you for this passage where you fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. What an amazing story that is. Lord, open our eyes and our ears to what you want to say to us today through that story. Lord, may it not be my words but yours that I speak. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I want to start this morning by thinking about what attracts us to people. What makes us think, I want to go and see that person, spend time with them when we can, to open our home to them, make a cake or a meal for that person. What drives you or motivates you to do that? Feel free to put something in the chat on Facebook, because I'd be really interested to see your responses. Is it the way someone looks? Is it their character or manner, their personality, the way they make you laugh or listen to you? Or is it because of something they do for you? What motivates you to take your time out of your day to go and spend time with someone else? You see, 2,000 odd years ago, 5 to 10,000 people stopped what they were doing, abandoned their farms, their fishing, their livelihoods, their families, and went in search of finding an itinerant preacher who was going round doing something quite extraordinary. He was healing people of their diseases and infirmities in a way they'd never seen before. He wasn't using natural medicines. There was no NHS. He was just putting his hand on them and praying for them. And sometimes he didn't even do that. He just looked at them and said, "Your son or daughter, be well," or "Pick up your mat and walk." There were blind people suddenly able to see again. There were lame people walking. Women with incurable diseases were being healed. It was such an extraordinary thing. People were desperate to see more, to hear more from him, to try and understand what enabled him to do that. So they came, not in their tens, or their hundreds, but in their thousands to find him. Of course, I'm talking about Jesus here, but it's worth just thinking about what attracted people to him, because we can become so familiar with those stories that we forget what it was like at the time. What Jesus did was so extraordinary, so out of this world, that it was no surprise that people did whatever they could to learn more about him, to see if what they had heard was true. It was countercultural and revolutionary. It shook up people's understanding of the world and how it worked. The world would never be the same again. And as I've been thinking about it this week, I've been thinking about what made Jesus decide to feed people right then. I don't suppose it was the only occasion when there were that many people there. What made him decide to do it that day? Now, of course, we can never fully know, but there are some clues. This miracle is one that is in all four Gospels. We chose the John reading for today, but it's pretty much the same account in all four. So we know Jesus had been teaching a lot. He'd been healing the sick, been doing many other miraculous things. And right in the middle of this, Herod had beheaded John, and Jesus had sent out the 12, giving them authority over impure spirits. So the disciples themselves had been really busy, as well as Jesus, and he wanted to give them some rest time. So they got in a boat to go over to another part of the lake that was a bit more remote, where there weren't so many people. But when they got there, they found that the people had found them. They'd followed them round the lake. And Jesus saw their desperation, their desire to spend time with him. He saw how lost they were. And as it says in Mark and Matthew's versions, he had compassion on them. So he starts teaching them, and then because it's late and there's nowhere around there to send them all to go and buy food, he feeds them too. I mean, talk about going the extra mile. I think if I'd been Jesus, I'd have wanted to tell them just to go away and leave him and his disciples so they can rest. And he does do that once he's fed and taught them. But it was because of his compassion, his love for them, that he does this. He showed his love, his sense of hospitality, his welcome, all the things that you've talked about that make you stick to New Hope. He was doing all those years ago. And as you know, as Jesus' followers, we're asked to do the same, to love people, to feed them spiritually and physically, to have compassion on them. It's what New Hope was set up to do 20 years ago, and what you've all been doing through everything from Reading Festival breakfasts and the Bed for the Night initiative, Cafe Hope, Holiday Club, Kids Zone, Toddlers, the list goes on. And I get, as I've been thinking about it all this week, I get a real sense that God has been really pleased with everything you've been doing. But I've been really interested to see how God's led you this year with stopping everything and seeking him for what's next. It's like he said, what you've done up till now has been so good, but I want to take it up a level. I want you to just stop and really listen to me for what I want next. And this idea of New Hope being a hub, being a place that meets the needs of the community, using your place, using New Hope rather, where people can meet, find company, be supported, share life together, which you've all experienced. But he wants more. He wants more people to experience that. I think God doesn't want this space, this building, to be just for you, for your Sunday services and for what you do for the church group in the week. You know, in today's society, where individualism and me first and money first is the prevailing culture, being somewhere that welcomes and doesn't ask anything of other people, just inviting them in, it speaks volumes. It's countercultural. It's faith in action. Some of you may know that I'm doing my training up at CMS in Oxford on their Pioneer Leadership Programme. And in one of the early lectures, Johnny Baker spoke to us about the need for churches to change from places where the vicar stands at the door and welcomes people to be one where the church goes out and talks to people. Tony, I don't know if you have that slide. There's like a cartoon picture. It might come up in a minute. I found it really powerful when I first looked at it. I think in our society today, people don't want to be told what to believe. They want to be shown. They want to be loved. And that's what New Hope is so good at doing. Loving people, feeding them with physical food and company, and when they need it and want it, spiritual food too. People are broken and they often need lots and lots of love before they're in a place to come into a relationship with Jesus. And I love the idea that you have of changing the doors on the ground floor and getting rid of this wall so that it becomes a much more open and inviting entrance. And I think that's all part of it, saying to the community, this building is yours. Come and be part of it. Sit with us, have some food. Enjoy our hospitality. And I firmly believe that each of you has been called to be part of New Hope Church for such a time as this. You're all here because God wants you here, and he has plans and purposes for each one of you and for you as a church. And I don't know quite how this is going to look, and you guys will work it all out. But I just wanted you to think this morning, who do you have compassion for? Who do you have sympathy for when you hear their story? You know, is it the young mum at the school gate, or the old man down the road, or the woman working at Richfields, or the homeless person who stops you in the street to ask for a sandwich? Who is God asking you individually and us as a church at New Hope to show his compassion to let them know that they are loved? And don't think that because you're too old, too young, too ill, don't have children, have too many children or whatever, that you can't serve God. You can. God loves to use those who are broken. You know, when I was the children's worker at Greyfriars, there were people that I really felt God wanted me to ask to be on team, who perhaps by sort of normal standards you would think may not be the best people to have in the team working with the children. They had physical illnesses, or they had struggles with their mental health that meant maybe you would think they shouldn't be helping. But God was insistent. And what I really learned through this was that he uses us where we are, that he doesn't need us to be perfect. He doesn't need us to be whole, that he can use us as we are today. And people that I took on, they flourished, they grew in their giftings, and they came completely different people to the ones that they started off at when I first asked them to join the team. So don't think you can't be part of what God is doing here at New Hope. He loves each of you, and every one of you that is listening to this, he's proud of you, and he knows you love him too. And he's just asking you to love those who are not yet Christians, who don't know him in the way that you do. I think it's wonderful what you've all fed in this morning about New Hope being a family and being warm and accepted. And that's wonderful, but don't keep it to yourself. Invite others in to, and they may not be perhaps the people that you would necessarily want to start with. They may not be your kinds of people, but they will become them as you love them. And if that scares you, if you're thinking, I don't want to do that, then take it to God. Tell him how you feel. Let him deal with the fear that is stopping you from being the person God wants you to be. Be open to what the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life and in the life of the body of people here at New Hope. He has such exciting plans for you all. You just have to be willing. You just have to be willing to change things, to move on to the next phase of the church life here, as he calls you all to step up to the next level. I'm going to stop now. I think it's really good for us to have a time to just pray and respond. And Naomi's going to come and lead us in some worship in a minute that will help us to do that. But for now, let's pray. Father God, thank you that you love us so very much. Thank you that you know we love you too. And Lord, help us to show other people that love, that compassion, like you did to all those sitting on that hill by Lake Galilee so many years ago. Help each one of us, both individually and as a church, to respond to your call to love those who don't know you yet, in whatever way you ask us to. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.